Welcome, everyone. This is the Kalahari Ochravis Extreme Marathon podcast channel. And this is the first of what we call our KM Around the Fire Chats. I am Simone Basson, and in this conversation, we'll be introducing you to our new race director, Russell Nugent. And we'll also talk a little bit about next year's event, KEM 2022. That'll take place from the 6th to the 16th of October. And especially what you can expect in terms of route and terrain. Now, many of you know Russell. This is the crazy running junkie who is also an established optometrist and businessman in the Northern Cape of South Africa. It's where the KEM takes place every year. And he also runs the Energy Running Lab, whom a lot of you may know. Now, around the fire, we also have Estienne Arendt. He's the founder of KEM and was the race director for 20 years and more. He's also known as the Sandman among our KEMers. And we have Dallas Barnardo, KEM second in charge en route. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, Simone.
Thank you, Simone.
How are you doing? Simone, I'll kick off basically just a quick little history. This event started in year 2000 after I participated in the Marathon des Sables in 1999 and decided we can do something similar to that sort of event in South Africa. These events weren't around in those days like the hundreds that are around nowadays. We are the second oldest in the world to Marathon des Sables. We started with 16 runners in the very first one. How we ever pulled it off in those days, I haven't a clue. If I look at where we are today with this event, and everyone seemed to get through on the first one. We had runners lost. We had planes in the air. It was great. It was great fun looking back. It was Nadia, myself, and Simon who have built this up over the years, as you know, the last 20 years. To a recognized international event that many runners come to and a lot of runners return to, which is a great plus for us, is that a lot of runners do return year after year. Not every year, but 2 or 3 year gap, and then we see them again coming to the event. Russell, do you want to comment on anything on the history or the past before we move on to sort of routes and terrain and stuff like that?
Now, Estienne, living in Upington, it sort of brings back memories. I remember I was in the Pick and Pay, and I heard about the race because I think Pick and Pay was in some way involved, whether it was logistic or catering or something like that. And the then owner of Pick and Pay, Jeremy Swart, told me about this race. And I said, yeah, no, I'm aware of it, but I think I'm too scared to run it. Sounds insane. And basically for the whole 20 years, I stood there watching it, trying to pluck up a bit of courage to go and run it, which eventually I did. I'll be honest, standing back in Pick and Pay, I didn't think I'd be where I am today or in the position that I'm in today.
Yeah, Jeremy was involved. Pick and Pay was involved in those stages. I think they started off with supplying the water before Aquila came on board with the water. Mm. And yeah, we've never really had big sponsors. We've been very, very lucky to have service providers and people providing equipment and supplies that basically will equivalent to financial sponsors. But the event has never had a financial sponsor. And that could be a good reason why the event did continue year after year, because we weren't on relying on sponsorship to keep running the event. We said in the beginning, Nadia, Simon and I, we said after 5 years, if this event isn't making money, we're going to throw in the towel. What, 22 years later, I don't believe it is still making money, but that shows it's from the heart. That's where this event comes from.
So, Russell, you as the new race director who's taking over, if you like, from Estienne, because Estienne, you guys are now in Italy and you're based there, but you're going to be at KEM next year, as you're going to try to be there. But, Russell, yeah, just your take on being in this position now.
Simone, it's a daunting position. I think it's an unenviable position to have to try and replicate, at the very least, what Estienne has done for the last 21 years. So yeah, to say that I'm nervous is putting it mildly. For the last 2 years, I think COVID for me personally has been a blessing in disguise, in the sense that it's given me an opportunity. It's given me an extra year to go out and familiarize myself with things here. And Estian can attest to this fact that I phoned him in a state of panic last year, saying that the race is getting close and I don't have a route. And what am I going to do? And he said to me, well, don't worry. He knows the area and everything so well. I should just decide where we want to have the overnight stops, and he'll basically join the dots for me. So yeah, that's where I am at the moment. But COVID's giving me an extra year to find my feet and to put together something special for everybody in 2022.
Also, you and Dallas has done sort of recce's now recently. So have you got your plan ready for next year?
Well, there's plan A, plan B, and then there's Estian.
there's always me. I'm here in Italy at the moment. I don't think I'll ever not be part of KAAM. We're not on the ground so much. We are definitely planning to come out in 2022 and hopefully even participate. I have to at least get one little trophy on my shelf there. You know, Dallas is going to have to get there sometime. Russell fortunately has, but Dallas is also going to have to get a trophy on his shelf sometime. Yeah, his wife has done it and my wife has done it. So we've got a problem there. But yeah, I will always be here for any type of advice, any type of help. Yeah, it's going to be difficult for Russell to do, you know, the route description for the logbook, you know, for the map book, until he is that familiar with the terrain itself. You know, I fortunately 90% of that route, I can draw up those descriptions. You know, the crew get cross with me because I tell them their checkpoint's at that tree. And they go like, what tree? And I say, well, you know, the one on the road down there. You know, and unfortunately, you know, that's it. It's actually quite scary in that I can look at a photograph of anyone running KAEM, and I've got an 80% chance of being able to tell you exactly where that photograph was taken. But that's 20 years of being out on that route and knowing it that well. So yeah, I'll definitely always be there in the wings to assist and to make sure that the event runs smoothly.
Fantastic. Thanks. Yes. I just want to quickly give my little introduction. So I met Nadia and Estian when I ran the Addo Trail Run, which myself and my wife bought from Nadia and Estian. And then Estian said to me, what are you doing? Do you have so many spare time? Come and help me at Kalahari Ahrawi's Extreme Marathon, Mark Roots. And the short story is, this is where I'm sitting now on a podcast, one of the shareholders, but it goes a little bit further than that. Myself and Estian really have a tight bond, and all I can say to Russell is, if you're ever going to lean on somebody, it's definitely number one, Estian. The knowledge is phenomenal. I've also spent a bit of time with Estian, and I'm sort of getting to know the lay of the land. But I think basically what I'm trying to say is that, you know, if you want to call it the godfather of the KAM, is still sitting in the wings, just smoking a pipe, making sure everything's running smoothly.
Now, guys, I'm excited to know what you guys have got in the plan for next year. And I think a lot of the newbie guys would like to know more about the terrain and the route and so forth. Russell, what can you tell us?
Yeah, well, Simon, I've spent a lot of time sort of sniffing around and trying out and looking for new places, different places, different routes and things like that. And yeah, Dallas was with me here twice already. Mm. Checking out the routes and doing a few recces and trial runs. And I think the class of 2022 will be in for a classic KAEM come October. And I know a lot of people, their motivations for coming to the Kalahari are to run away from their demons or to complete or to do an event that an achievement. So rest assured that the route is not going to be a doddle, and it will most certainly be challenging, and it will most certainly at the end of it be an achievement. You'll be able to give yourself a pat on the back.
The route, yeah, when I plan the route each year, we use a lot of bits and pieces of previous years. KAEM does change every year. We have a different route every year, which makes it entertaining for people that want to come back. On a terrain like the Grabies, I don't believe runners want to run exactly the same route every year. You know, they get to know it and they'll get bored with it. Yes, bits and pieces of it are very similar. It's the weather, as Russell and Dallas and anyone who's run KEM know, it plays a massive role in the difficulty or ease of the event. If the weather is incredibly hot, you don't want half your field dropping out. No one wants results where 50% of your field are DNF. And you don't want that. Yet, if the weather's cool, you don't want people to say, well, I've come all this way. I mean, what was that all about? You know, it was just a doddle and we just went for a run in the park. So you've got to, at planning the route, I've always tried to think, all right, if today's a killer hot day, is half the field going to drop out? And if today's a cool day, are the front runners are going to say, listen, that was just a waste of time. So it's trying to plan it, that it's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that in it. That is challenging no matter what the weather conditions, but not too challenging that the middle of the field and the back of the field just cannot cope with it. Your front five or six runners usually are not a problem at all. They're professionals, they know what they're doing, and they can basically run under any conditions. They trained for it, they know about it. The guys behind them to halfway are the danger zone on about day three. They take it easy on day one and day two. And on day three, they think, nah, this is easy. You know, I take it easy. And they let go with the throttle. And a lot of them sometimes come unstuck on day three because they are then going crackers. And the conditions, you know, get to them. Most of the field that get through day three usually finish the event, other than injuries, blisters, infections, and things like that. But not many runners drop out after day three through exhaustion or not able to cope with the conditions or the distance. So planning the route, always taking into account, you know, the front and the back of the field, to make sure that it, as I said, it's challenging enough in cool weather, but not too challenging in hot weather.
What I think is probably one of the factors that you cannot control is the weather. So you could design a route, Russ, Estienne, for anybody to finish this thing. But if you have extreme heat or extreme cold, the route doesn't actually matter then. Do you guys kind of agree with what I'm saying? So if you made it an easy 250Ks and you had blistering heat, I think you're still going to have dropouts. So the route is always the route. It's the actual conditions over those 5 or 6, 7 days that are the unknown quantity. Nobody can actually prepare for them, but you have to do your best.
You can't prepare for them as such, but as I said, you know, if there's 5 riverbeds in one day on a blistering hot day, you're just going to kill the guys. The back guys are just not going to take it. So you put in one, maybe two. As I'm saying, in planning the route, you put some difficult parts into one day and not 5 difficult parts into one day. That's what I'm sort of saying about planning between hot and cold weather.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying, is the route will always be relatively manageable by anybody, but it's the weather could change and that could be the difference.
I think the challenging thing as far as the route is concerned is it's not a technically challenging course for anybody who'd be wondering in that regard. They're not thousands of meters of vertical ascent. There's not a lot of boulder hopping. There's not a lot of technical stuff. But what's going to challenge you is the environment, which is unique to the Kalahari. You're going to have sandy riverbeds. You're going to have long distances. And then you're going to have heat of the Kalahari. And even on a cool day, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
But that's actually also what makes Kalahari Ohrabi so nice, is the diversity. Because in one day, just in one day, even on the shorter days, you have the, you know, 3-4 different terrains that you go through. And I think that makes it easier for your slower runners. Because, you know, some people struggle with climbs and other people find it easier. And then your longer stretches are there that you've got a little bit of harder ground. And then you get your riverbeds. But every day has got that diversity, which is great.
Yeah, Simone, it's KAM is a very doable event for anybody who has trained and who is fit enough. You don't have to be a super athlete. You just have to have your body must be used to traveling that type of distance per day. And is management, just manage, as I keep saying at the briefing, is managing your eating, managing your liquid intake and managing your feet. It's your feet you run on, you know, and if you are fit and you manage those three things properly, you will get through KAEM. And most of the dropouts, as I said, between in the first 3 days are people that aren't managing that properly. They either running too fast, they're running over what they should be, they're not eating properly, they're not drinking properly, you know, and most of the problems are arisen from, you know, lack of proper management to within their own ability. And yeah, it's a very doable event for any novice who wants to give it a go. It's very, very doable. And as you say, as you know, a lot of, probably from about 2/3 of the field, people mainly hike it. You know, there's far more walking than actual running, and they hike along, form little groups and chat along, and they run checkpoint to checkpoint, which is between 8 and 10 Ks, and get from one to the next and entertain each other and just hike it. So it's a very doable event to anybody who's thinking about doing it. Like Russell says, he was dead scared to do it, but then Russell's a racer. He runs and he races the event. So I would hate to try and race KAM. Maybe my younger years, I may have tried, but we didn't have these type of events when I was performing on that sort of level. But, I'd be scared to actually try and race KAM. It would terrify me. So the guys who are racing it, I admire them and, I respect them a hell of a lot because no, I'd hate to have to try and run in that terrain and those conditions.
Estienne, I'm going to ask you a question. I've never run marathon disciples, right? And from what I can gather, it's basically a straight line. You start at one point and you're just running from camp one to camp two to camp three. And it's sand, sand, sand.
Mm. Well, the year I ran, one, it changes every year. Yeah. But okay. it's not like KEM, as you say. Your map book isn't a case of follow the markers. You've got a hill over there in the distance and run to that hill. You know what I mean? And there's a little flag at that hill. So you run straight. It's not only sand. They have sandy days. And, but it's pretty bland. It's not, your scenery doesn't change like Ohrabi's does. Ohrabi's, you can be in vineyards. You can be in hills. You can be in riverbeds. And there it's mainly desert, more real desert. And not all desert is sandy. Desert is just
I think that's the point that I'm trying to make, that if anybody is out there that's going to listen to this podcast, if you've run Marathon Disciples and you're thinking of running somewhere that will maybe just prick your spine and just change your mind as to running a different race in the same that it is a 7-day self-sufficient race, I think Kalahari is what you're looking for. The terrain is vast. It's different. It's not boring. It's not day in, day out, straight line. If I can say, I mean, I haven't run it yet, but I've been around the course and for me, it changes every year. And
a doubt, Dallas, what you're saying is 100% right. Anyone out there listening to this who's thinking about coming to KPM, who has done MDS, it's very different. It's different in that terrain changes. From hour to hour, the terrain changes. And, you know, with a small with a small number, it's far more personal. You get to know people. Yes. Yeah, you get to know just the front runners. Everyone. The front runners interact with the person who comes in last. Everyone definitely interacts with each other, and there's no, it's a very different experience. The format, as far as distance goes, as far as kilometers and as far as days and checkpoints go, the format is the same, but it's a very different event.
I think if I can sum it up very quickly, KAM is, if you went to any form of military service, you were just a number. And I think MDS, Marathon Disciples, you're just a number. Whereas when you go to KAEM, you're not just a number, you're a personality, and you will definitely add value to everybody around you on that event.
Yeah.
Russell, I want to ask you one question, and that's the long day. You don't have to give us the exact distance now, but I mean, just we want to know a little bit about that, because it's really daunting, especially for us slow runners. And then the other thing I want to ask you to elaborate on a little bit is the campsite, because the one great thing for me also is that we run the Kalahari next to the Orange River, or very close to the Orange River, and we then camp from time to time next to the river. So
as far as the long day is concerned, it needs to be a daunting day. It needs to sort of worry you for those first 3 days as to what's lying ahead. Well, it kept me awake, I tell you what. It's a daunting day, and don't let anybody else tell you differently. But once you've got through that, then you think you're invincible and you're bulletproof, and the race is done. You there's no way that anybody's going to get you to not finish them. So, and as far as the route and the terrain and that kind of thing, I think the distance is challenging enough. So it's not going to be a particularly difficult day as far as terrain is concerned, with thousands mm-hmm. of meters of ascent and things like that. So it will be a mental thing to get through. But it's like a wise Estienne once told me, you just run from checkpoint to checkpoint. They're like 9 of them or something like that. And then you're done. So you sort of count them down, and they go quicker and quicker. So
I do that.
So yeah, and so just do that. It's easy. And then the other unique thing about the long day is that you will be running in the night. Even if you mm-hmm. think you are the fastest runner on the planet, we will make sure that you be running in the night. Fortunately, it's around the time of the full moon. So that's sort of got its own unique appeal. And you start thinking that all these little yellow dots are predator eyes and things, and they could be, you know. I mean, they could be leopards and things looking at you. I'm just kidding. But yeah, those are kind of the unique experiences that'll make the long day special to you, for you. And I know I started off saying that it's a daunting day, but it's, when you look back on it, it's probably the most rewarding and the most enjoyable day. There's no rush. You've got until the next day to finish. So you will get through it, and you'll have fun doing it. You'll meet a lot of people. Like Estienne said, little groups form on the road and they carry each other through. So it's a fantastic experience. I wouldn't worry too much about the long day. Maybe a little bit, but look forward to it.
I want you guys also just to tell us quickly about the markings, that the route is marked and that it's really very difficult to get lost.
You've always got some gems that will do their best to get lost. But on the whole, the route is brilliantly marked. And I'm notorious for paying little attention to race briefings and going entirely on the way the route's been marked. And the route is comprehensively marked. Mm. So there's really no excuse, unless you've got your head up your bum.
Yeah.
But there's no excuse for getting lost on the route. It's well marked. So really, you should worry about your running. You'll find your way out.
And you also have a detailed roadmap and book.
Roadmap.
If you think you've gone wrong, refer to your book and then work it out from there. I mean, I've always said, you know, sometimes the guys pitch up there and they think that there's a white line that's pointed from or painted from checkpoint one to the end of the day. No, it's not. It's well marked, but it's not road marked. So, you know, just hold a bit of savvy.
Is so true. Mm, the front five, six, you know, the professional guys in front, they really get lost, very rarely, because they sit the night before or the day before when they're in. They study that route map book. They read it because they cannot afford to get lost. They don't want to get lost because they're racing. It's the middle in the backfield, dawdling along, chatting, having a whale of a time. They throw the road book away because everything's marked so well. We don't have to worry about the road book. And about an hour of never seeing a marker, one says to the other, oops, has anyone seen a marker? And they go like, no. And then, shall we go back? I don't want to go back. We've been there. We don't want to go back there. And that is the guys who get lost. Mainly, very seldom, the front guys get lost. Yeah, as I said, concentrating and paying a bit of attention, you shouldn't get lost. You know, we've had, it's one of the reasons I bought the headphones back in the days is because people are not concentrating. They're listening to music and not listening to the terrain around them. It's caused a lot of people are very anti it. They like their music. They like to run with their music. But to me, in the Kalahari is you there to listen to the surroundings. And I mean, we had a lady get lost years back, and the guys saw her getting lost and were shouting and screaming, and she didn't hear because she had headphones on. And if there's any danger around you as well, you're unaware of it if you're listening to music. But I felt quite strongly about it. Sure. And what summed it up for me was that incident in Australia where that girl got so badly burnt and she didn't hear the fire because she had headphones on and was listening to music. And she didn't hear the fire coming and didn't hear people warning her.
So I want to.
They won't hear the wild animals roaring either. So
yeah,
I firmly believe the event is now in very, very good hands, and I think we'll carry on once this COVID thing can go and kick itself up the ass, and let us get back to normal. The event's got a good foundation. We have a good relationship we built up with the landowners in the area. And that's also a very important thing is the land that we run on there is other people's property. It's the national parks, it's private farms. We have to respect them and we have to get on with them and we have to look after them if they're going to look after us. And yeah, I think there's a great future to the event. It's 21 years old and it'll keep going and it'll still be one of the top events in the world. Anybody listening to this wants to come along and join us. And I may even be running next year, so we'll see. Well, not running. Let's totally rephrase that. I'm hoping to get to the finish somehow or other.
Absolutely. And I want to invite everyone that's listening now. If you haven't done KAM yet, it is definitely the race that you have to do. If you love nature and you love running and you love a challenge, don't miss out on this one. KAM 2022 is going to be awesome. We are looking forward so much to this. We're definitely going to have it. COVID or not, we will have our COVID regulations, right? And we definitely will host the event next year from the 6th to the 16th of October in South Africa, in the northern parts, along the Orange River, in the Kalahari Ohrabis Extreme region. So be there, and that you guys that have done it before, we want to see you again. Please come and join us. It's going to be a big party. I just want to also say that we're going to have follow-up podcasts that will focus on feed management, what you need to eat and what not and so forth. So please look out on our Facebook page, which you can get at Kalahari Ohrabis Extreme Marathon, and our website, www.kaem.co.za. That is where you need to go to enter. Just click on the Enter KAM 2022 and you'll be with us next year. Thanks a lot. Thank you, gentlemen. It was nice having you. Oh.
challenge to survive. Even though I sometimes wonder what's on my mind, the sand is like a sea, rough and yet serene, and the sky runs up as far as the eye can see. As I forge towards the end with quickened pace, and when it all is done, I'll be happy that I've run. Now I've yearned for rivers, rocks, and sand and space, because it draws me back again when I cannot feel the pain. Yes, the sun sets, rivers, rocks, and sand and space. Yes, it draws me back again to the desert and the zen, to the sunsets, rivers, rocks, and sand and space.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.